right, John chapter 12, and find verse 37. We were moving right along in John. Got to chapter 12 and hung around here for a while. We'll finish it up this morning. Are we? Yes. Yes, we are. Whatever. We will. You just watch. Look how short those notes are. I know that doesn't mean anything, but John chapter 12, verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Esaias said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Esaias when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Lord, again, we just ask for your help as we come to your word. Pray that you would be glorified and you would be honored and we would be changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In John chapter 12, we're going to look at a few different things here. And we're going to look at a couple of different people or groups of people. We're going to look at some who refuse to believe, and we're going to look at some weak believers, and then we'll take a look at God's judgment before we're done. But I want you to look at verse 37 and notice that it says, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Now when we read that, we might find it hard to believe. How could you live on this earth at the time of Christ and see him heal people, see him bring people back to life, see him cast out devils, see all of these things, making lame people to walk and doing all of these miracles? How could a person see that? When you look at the kind of things that people believe today without ever seeing, when you look at the kind of things that people are tricked by today when they see, you have to look at that and think, how could a person see what Jesus Christ did, see all of those miracles, and not believe? Well, before you get too critical, let's look at ourselves as Christians. Okay, for one, there is a blindness that we're going to look at here in a minute with these people. But before we get to that, before we start to ask that question, oh, how could they see all of these things that he did and still not believe? Let me ask you this. Are you saved? Have you been born again? Do you know that the Holy Spirit of God dwells inside of you? Now just answer that question to yourself. Am I born again? Do I know the Holy Spirit of God is working inside of me? Have you seen God answer prayers in your life? Have you seen God work in your life? Have you seen him work in the lives of other people? Have you seen what obedience to his word can do in your life and in other people's lives? Have you not seen the working of God and the blessings of God with your own eyes? Now, let me ask you this. After you've answered that question, let me ask you this. Are there times when you doubt? Are there times when you are afraid? Now, if we know He's God and we know what He's capable of doing and we've seen it, why would we ever doubt? But do you ever doubt sometimes? Why would we ever be afraid of anything if we've seen what He can do and we know who He is? You ever get afraid? You ever worry about things? How about this? Have you had times in your life when you were faced with temptation and you prayed and asked God for the help and the strength to resist it and He gave it to you? And then on down the road comes another day when another temptation or maybe the same temptation comes and you know when I go to Him and ask Him, He gives me strength and helps me to resist. And for whatever reason, you don't. And you don't go to Him and you don't ask Him. Why? Don't you know who He is? Haven't you seen what He can do? Haven't you seen Him working in your own life? Look, it says, but though He had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on Him. It's sad that sometimes believers, okay, before we get too critical of them, let's look at our own selves. How many times do we as believers, having witnessed the saving power, the keeping power, the provision, the answered prayers, the working of God, the working of the Holy Spirit, how many times do we as believers still decide, I'll go my own way on this one. I'll listen to the flesh. I'll do what I want to do here. Come on, before we get too critical of them, couldn't this be said of us? Couldn't this be said of believers from time to time? Come on, you know who He is. You know He's capable. We know He's capable. We know He saved us. We know that He keeps us. We know He gives us peace. We know He gives us joy. We know He answers prayers. We know that living according to His Word improves our lives and gives us blessings and preserves us from wrong ways and keeps us from going the wrong way. Then why would there be a time in our life when we choose, I'm not going to listen to Him on this one. I'm not going to do what He says on this one. I'm going to go my own way. Before we criticize them too much, let's look at ourselves. God's done wonderful things in our lives. So why would there ever be a time when we don't listen to Him? I'm not going to preach on that this morning. There's just no way that I could go past that verse and not touch on that. Let's just let that kind of sit this morning and this week. Take that to heart. How many times do I, having seen what God can do, how many times do I live as though God can't do it again? As though God didn't do it or isn't capable of doing it. But here this morning we're looking at people who are not believers, people who did not believe. They saw what Christ was doing. They saw the working. Well, we see even today how people will find clever ways to explain things away so that they don't have to deal with them. I mean, that happens every day. Somebody sees something and it's obvious what it is, but they don't want to admit what it is. They don't want to deal with it, and so they find a way to explain it away. Well, it was probably just this. It was probably just that. Sometimes we do that to make ourselves feel better. That's probably not what that was. You know, that probably wasn't a snake that just went under that bush. That was probably the cat's tail that I saw. You know, I bet you that's not a not a varmint that I hear up in the ceiling. That's probably not all. That's probably just the air conditioning. You know, we explain things away. Well, the sad thing is, people do the same thing. People do the same thing in their own lives with sin. Well, that's not, you know, it's not really all that bad. That was bad enough Christ went to the cross. And the sad thing is that people will look at the Word and say, ah, you know, that's somebody made that up. That's not really what that means. That's not really what happened. We just can't understand. sometimes, how somebody could see what Jesus seemed in the flesh and not believe. Well, hey, people today can see His creation. How can you deny somebody created everything? And they still do. Everybody has a conscience. And they still deny it. They still ignore it. People hear the word. This is how we learn how to be saved. And they still deny it. Listen, it wasn't a new thing then, and it's not a new thing now. The truth is, and we don't want this to discourage us as we go out and tell people how to be saved, but we have got to understand the truth is sometimes people just won't listen. Now, that doesn't change what we do. We don't say, they don't want to hear it. No, you don't get to make that call whether or not they want to hear it. You go out and take it to everybody. Some listen, some refuse to believe. So before we begin to ask God, God, why won't they? Why won't they? Why won't they? Just go back to the Word and realize some people don't. Some people don't believe. They refuse to believe. We've already seen here in the book of John one of the reasons, and that is that men love darkness rather than light. One of the reasons why people won't believe. They look at their own flesh, they look at their own understanding, and they want to follow that because they think that that is right rather than Jesus Christ, or because they don't want to give up their sin. Go back to Judges chapter 17. I couldn't do that again. I turned right to it. I grabbed a chunk. I went from John to Judges 17. Didn't have it marked, just grabbed a chunk of pages. I couldn't do that again if I tried. You know what was going on in Judges. There was no king, and people were doing, just whatever it is they wanted to do. Well, we find that. Very lawless period of time. In verse 17 and verse 6, I mean chapter 17 and verse 6, the Bible says, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's what man does. That's what man does. Come on, look at our nation. Do we have a government? Do we have law enforcement here? People still do what they think is right in their own eyes. This is the problem. And this is why some people refuse to believe. Hey, I just don't like it. I just don't want it. I want to do what I want to do. And then sometimes believers will walk into a church. I want to do it my way. I want my music. I want a Bible written the way I want it written. I want it in something easier for me to understand. This isn't hard to understand. I want a Bible that's worded differently. I want my kind of music. I want it at my time. I want to wear what I want. I want to do it my way. Look, people approach God this way. People approach life this way. I'll do what I think is right. And they approach God this way. I'll do it the way I want to do it. And neither one is right. Neither one works. You can't do what's right in your own eyes. You have to do what God says to do. And that is be saved. And then after you get saved, you can't live for God and worship God the way you want to. We have to do it the way He tells us to in His Word. It's not up to God is not, God's not like a painting. I'm sure that everyone knows, because it's been around for years now, this type of art that they call abstract art. Okay? And I don't mean to offend anybody that likes it. I don't like it. I think it's nonsense. You've heard people say, you look at abstract art is just, it's just paint splattered on something or a bunch of different shapes. It doesn't look like anything. It doesn't mean anything, okay? Well, for an art form to exist, whether it's music or painting or sculpture, there have to be rules and standards and disciplines, Okay? That's what makes it what it is. And so what abstract art does is it ignores all the rules and the disciplines. Did you know that Picasso later on did... you look at some of the stuff that Picasso did, and normally when we think about him, we think of a guy with, like, you know, three eyeballs and the crazy stuff that Picasso did. Well, look at Picasso. Did you know that before that, Picasso did disciplined art? He was a sculptor. He didn't start out doing that stuff. He proved that he could create real art by the disciplines of art, and then he went on. Well, here's what I'm saying. Have you ever said to yourself, my three-year-old could do that. You look at this paint splattered and everything. There was a special, I think maybe on PBS or something like that, entitled My Five-Year-Old Could Paint That. And there was a five-year-old kid that they gave paper and paint and they just smeared it all over. And some ritzy, fancy person with too much money and educated beyond their own intelligence set up an art studio and had an art showing, and people were coming in paying big money for the paintings that this five-year-old made by smearing paint on a piece of paper. Okay? Here's what it is about abstract art. Here's what you'll hear. Well, it means different things to different people. Now, sometimes even regular art is like that. But there'll be a bunch of shapes and people will look at it and say, what does that mean to you? How does that make you feel? What is your interpretation of that painting? What do you think it is? That's what it looks like, a nightmare. It looks like a stomach ache. It's how my head feels whenever I'm sick. You know, they say, well, what feeling does it give you? Listen, that's not our God. We don't come before Him and say, well, who is God to you? Hey, maybe He's dealt with you differently than He's dealt with me. Maybe there are certain things about God that excite you a little bit more and the other things excite this person a little bit more. But He's the same God to all of us. And we don't get to come before Him in our own way and say, well, this is who I think God is. This is who I believe He is. This is how I want to live for Him. No, He's the same God and has the same standard for everybody. Believers can't just do what's right in their own eyes. I mean, look, the Bible tells us in the book of Judges here, these are sinful people. They're just doing whatever they want to do. What makes us think we can bring that attitude to the worship of God? But why is it that some people refuse to believe? Well, right here in Judges, this has always been the case. Because some people just don't want to be told what to do. And they think they know more than God. And I'm just going to do whatever I think is right. Where does that get us? Well, just you don't even have to look at anybody else. Just look at your own life. Just take situations in your own life where you did what you wanted to do rather than listening to God. And it didn't turn out right, did it? It never turns out right. These people here refused to believe. Simply because, look, they had seen the proof. It wasn't because they didn't know, they didn't want it. Now you might look ahead and say, oh, but it says God hardened their hearts. We're going to get to that. Okay, we're going to get to that. Go to Proverbs. In chapter 14, let me give you just a couple more verses here before we get back to John. Proverbs 14. What happens whenever we do what we think is right? Proverbs 14 and verse 12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Okay, they saw the miracles that Christ did, but they didn't. They chose not to believe. They chose not to put their faith in Him. They did what they wanted to do rather than what God had commanded them to do. And what happened? What happened? They willingly sent their souls straight to hell. They saw the miracles. They had the proof. No, I don't think that's right. I just don't want to do that. I don't want to believe in that. Come on, you'll witness to people sometimes, and it's all there. It's all there in front of them. There's no way they can deny it, but they're going to deny it. The people that you witness to are not always people who say, I don't believe that that's true. Sometimes there are people who say, I know what you're telling me is true, but they just refuse to put their faith in Jesus Christ. These people can't say they didn't know. They saw the miracles. These are people like you and I meet, and we give them the gospel and they say, yeah, I understand. I'm not interested. Right here it is. Here's the truth. Here is the proof. Church, don't get discouraged when that happens. It's been happening for years. If they saw Jesus Christ do the miracles that he did and refused to believe in him, what makes us think everybody we witness to is going to get saved? But we can't let it be a discouragement, because we never know when the next person's going to get saved. We don't get to choose. Look over it while you're in Proverbs. Look over at 16. There's a similar verse. 16 verse 2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Okay, why did we look at these verses? Because these verses show us that man makes the choice. Okay, God doesn't make you make the choice, man makes the choice. God gives you the truth, and then you make the choice. And some people just refuse to do anything other than what they want to do and what they think is right. Absolutely refuse. It's always been that way. It's going to continue to be that way until God takes us out of here. So when we're out witnessing to people, and we're out telling people how to be saved, don't get discouraged when you make it plain in the scriptures right there and they just, nope. Don't get discouraged with that. Know that, hey, this was happening when Christ was here. I just got to keep on. Go to the next person. I got to keep at it. Hey, if we're not careful, we will get discouraged. We really will. When we go out and we go around door to door, and sometimes we talk to people, people just seem so indifferent. And you tell them. Give somebody a track and you tell them this has the gospel of Jesus Christ, tells you how to be saved, how to have your sins forgiven and know that you're going to heaven. And, people are just indifferent. It gets discouraging. But you know why we don't give up and we keep pressing on? Because God's still saving people. Because people are still getting saved. Come on, I don't know how often you invite people to church. I hope you do it a lot. But I don't know what the statistics are, and I would imagine there's never been a study done on it. We probably shouldn't. It would be even more discouraging. You probably have to ask 100 people to come to church before one will show up. That's what it seems like. Even people that tell you, oh yeah, I'm going to be there. I had a family member that I kept inviting to church a long time ago, and then it got to where I didn't even invite anymore, but every time they saw me, they would bring it up, and they'd say, hey, I'm coming to church on Sunday. I just quit inviting them. They kept saying, I'm going to be there, but they never were. So I got to where I didn't even say anything. They brought it up. They expected me to bring it up. They brought it up. Hey, by the way, I'm going to be at church. All right. And I'd hope that they were, and then they weren't. You probably have to ask 100 people, get one person to walk through the door. What are we going to dwell on? We're going to dwell on the 100. We're going to dwell on the one. Let's dwell on the one. That'll keep us going out and telling another 100 so we can get another one lead to Christ. Okay? Don't get discouraged. When you're witnessing to people, don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Say, man, people don't want to hear. That's right. A lot of people don't want to hear, but they need to hear. And it doesn't have anything to do with whether or not they want to hear. We're told to go tell them. Jesus didn't say, tell the ones that are interested in hearing. He said, for us to take the gospel to the whole world. Okay? We're supposed to go out and take it to everybody. And we don't get to make that distinction. I don't think they really want to hear it. They don't. No, you just take it out. And when they don't want to hear, we don't get discouraged. We don't say, well, I'm not going to tell anybody else because they're just not listening. Christ didn't say that. He said, you take it out there to them. and we give it to them. And then when they don't listen, we have to remember, it's how it is. It's how it was with Christ. That's all right, though. That's all right. We just do what it is that he's called us to do. If you look, go back here to John. In verse 39 through 41, we find their awful state. Therefore, they could not believe because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. So he's talking about Isaiah here and how he talks about how these people, these Jews, weren't gonna listen. Okay? But now listen. Understand the whole of Scripture. We don't read this and say and it's not saying it was impossible to believe, that they never had a chance to believe. That's inconsistent with Scripture. Okay? Does this tell us that their eyes had been blinded and their hearts had been hardened? Absolutely. But Scripture in multiple places makes it clear that that doesn't happen until a person has had a chance and to put their faith in Christ and they willingly reject it. Okay? If they were doomed from the start, as Calvin would have us to believe, if they had no way of believing, they weren't part of the elect, if all that was true, then why did Christ waste his time telling them how to be saved? Why did he even waste it? Wouldn't they be better off not to know what they were missing out on? Then they could have at least had a little bit of happiness here before they went to hell. I mean, you stop and think about that. If it's true that they couldn't believe, okay, that their eyes were blinded and their hearts were hardened from the very beginning and they could not believe, rather than what Scripture teaches, that he calls all men everywhere to repent, and that whosoever believeth, and that whenever we reject, then he might harden a person's heart or blind them, okay? Or allow that to happen to them, okay? If it's true, if it were true that God chose certain people to go to heaven and certain people to go to hell and there was nothing you could do about it, then which one would be a good God? One that said, I'm going to tell them how to be saved, even though they can't, and let them be miserable here, and then they'll be even more miserable in hell. Or a God that says, I'm not going to let them get saved, so just leave them to themselves. Don't even... let them have a good time while they're here, because after this, they're doomed. Well, I would think that a good God wouldn't choose certain people to go to heaven and certain people to go to hell, and that's not what he does. But if he did that, wouldn't it make more sense for him to say, don't even bother telling them the gospel, they can't believe anyhow? Why did Christ waste his time if they couldn't believe? The Bible doesn't tell us they couldn't believe. They had just as much chance and just as much of a choice as you and I when it comes to salvation. So did Pharaoh. He made his decision. He wasn't going to bend. And so then, you know, the Bible tells us that Pharaoh hardened his own heart before it tells us that God hardened it. Pharaoh made the decision. Okay? Judas could have believed. He said, oh, Judas, you know, Judas could have believed. It wasn't that they couldn't, it's that they wouldn't. If you turn with me over to Romans chapter 1, here's the perfect description. Romans chapter 1. And verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Okay, so the wrath of God is revealed. All mankind knows. He might not want to believe it, but all mankind knows, hey, there's a God out there that I'm going to have to deal with. Okay? Because that which may be known of God, it's there, it's possible, is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We all have creation. Nobody can stand before God and say, you hardened my heart, you didn't elect me, you didn't choose me. No, they're without excuse because everybody could be saved. Because that when they knew God, these people that we're reading about in John, they saw Him in the flesh. They saw Him do the miracles. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. When you see people worshiping idols, and don't say you've never seen people worship idols. You live in one of the biggest idol-worshiping nations that ever existed. We've just traded carved statues for men on a football field or men in a race car or someone in Hollywood. It's the same thing. It's still idol worship. It's not, oh, look, they're so foolish they don't know. No, they've chosen. They've chosen. I'm not going to worship God. I'm going to make this person my God. I'm going to make this thing my God. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness. It doesn't say He made them unclean. Okay, I've revealed myself to you. You know, you've rejected. Go ahead, go your own way. They had a chance. It says they knew God and they chose not to glorify Him. Through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust toward one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. There are people who try to tell us today this isn't talking about homosexuality. Yes, it is. It's not hard to understand. It's exactly what it's talking about. There are publishers, book publishers, who are changing this book to remove these passages. Well, this here, the Bible, the Word of God, says that these people burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men and women with women. Look, it's still in here, okay? No matter what, that world out there, they might change their minds about it. God hasn't changed His mind. Came home and told Amy the other day that I saw something that was very sad. You know, sin is sin, no matter who's doing it. It's one thing if you look at an adult, a grown person, who ought to know better and could know better and chooses. These children that are being influenced by this homosexual thing. These kids in high school and junior high and younger that are going to school and deciding they're going to be... I was at a store the other day and there was this girl there with, I'm assuming, her grandmother. And you could barely tell that she was a girl the way she had her hair, you know, cut and everything. But you could tell she was no more than 13, 14 years old. 13, 14. That's when you're just starting to get interested in the opposite sex. You're just starting to notice, hey, they're not as gross as I thought they were. 13, 14, you know. She had a t-shirt, had a big rainbow on it, and it said straight out of the closet. She couldn't have been more than 14 years old. Look, the world can say whatever they want. God still says that it's sin. You can change this book all you want, but all you're doing is writing a book of your own. This book says that it's sin. Now look. It says, and even as they did not like to retain God. See, it's their decision. In their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. He didn't make them do that. He didn't make them that. He let them go their own way. They didn't want to retain Him in their knowledge. They didn't want to believe. He said, all right, go on. To do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, look, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. God doesn't harden anybody's heart. God doesn't give anybody over to their own lust without giving them a chance to repent and believe on Him. So when we go back to John there and we read about their eyes being blinded and their hearts being hardened, it wasn't that God did that and they didn't have a chance. They had a chance. They had the chance. And this was what they chose. After this, then, we see some believers who refused to take a stand. Verse 42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on Him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. I realize this could be a whole separate sermon, but we're just going to go ahead and cover it here this morning. We have these people who refuse to believe, and then we have some people who believe and then refuse to live it, refuse to stand up, refuse to be bold for Jesus Christ. Why? Because they were worrying more about what God thought. Church, if this is us, if this is you, if this is me, let's get back. They worried more about what man thought. Let's get back to worrying more about what God thinks. Let's get back to worrying what God says. Is He not the one that gave His life for us? Is He not the one that we're going to stand before? Is He not the one with whom we have to do, the Bible tells us? Let's get back to worrying what God says about these things. Let's get back to worrying where God wants us, what God thinks, rather than fitting in at work, fitting in at school, fitting in at the family reunion, not being the sore thumb, not standing out, not being, hey, who cares about any of that? Did any of those people die for our sin? No. Let's get back to worrying about what God thinks. These people, it said they believed on Him. They believed on Him. But they wouldn't say anything because they were afraid. Well, you know, that's how it is. You know, we all understand fear. We understand fear. But Paul understood fear too. And he wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid to tell people. He was beaten and left for dead and shipwrecked and all those, you know, you read that list of everything that happened to him. Go to 1 Corinthians with me. Let's look at a couple of verses there. 1 Corinthians 15. They believed on Him, but they were afraid to live for Him. They were afraid to say anything because of the Pharisees. You know, we don't have anybody in this. We've got a country that's hostile against Christianity. We understand that, but we don't face the same kind of persecution that that these people were facing and would have faced. And even we sometimes, I just won't say anything. Look, 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Look over at chapter 16 and verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. This isn't the picture of someone, I'm afraid to say anything. I won't tell anybody. They'll single me out. Hey, I've been a sore thumb before. Now, a lot of times it was because of my own ignorance and my own stupidity, but I know what it means to stand out and have people looking at you and laughing at you. You know, one time, I think I was in the sixth grade, and we had this, I couldn't stand that music teacher. It wasn't music, it was that teacher. And she and I just did not get along. And I know that 99% of it was me being a little punk. Maybe it was all of me, but I just did not get along with her. So we had this program we were going to do. I hated those programs too. You had to stand up in front of, it wasn't the being up in front of everybody. I just always felt dumb standing up with the whole class singing those songs and everything. I hated those programs. Well, we had this program. Sixth grade's going to do this program. They told us for 2 or 3 weeks, everyone has to wear a pure white shirt. I said, I don't have a white shirt. Well, you've got 3 weeks for your mom to get you one. Here's the, I can't remember if they gave us a note and I didn't give it to my mom. Well, I was a punk. I don't have a white shirt. I was just gonna be bad. Got closer. Make sure you got your white shirt. The entire sixth grade showed up in a white shirt. And I showed up that day in a brown shirt. I said, I told you I didn't have a white shirt. Now, I don't really think I don't think I lied. I don't remember having a white shirt, but I didn't bother telling my mom I needed one. I hated that music teacher. I was going to get back at her. They came in last minute, her and a teacher, and they're all worried, And they had a shirt for me, a sweatshirt turned inside out, and I wouldn't wear it. And I went down there, I was just going to be tough. And I went down there, and here's the whole sixth grade, a sea of white. And wouldn't you know, I was right in the middle too. I was right in the middle, standing there in my brown shirt and my brown pants. I didn't feel so bad anymore. I didn't feel so tough when I got up there and everybody was looking at me and I was the sore thumb. Felt like an idiot, because I was. I was a rebellious little brat idiot. And I'm standing up there in my, I was going to get up there and just, but then when I didn't get the looks of, I just felt stupid the whole time. Stood out like a sore thumb, as we say. Listen, we've all stood out and looked like idiots because of our own stupidity, haven't we? Those are good encouraging words, idiot, stupidity. We've all done that. We've all been there. We're not new to it. We know what it is to embarrass ourselves. Why aren't we willing to stand out for something that's right? Come on, there are times when we've held to things that were wrong, like I did in that case. I'm going to do what I want to do and I get everybody to look at me. And why aren't we willing to do that for what we know is right? Why aren't we willing to say, I don't care if I stand out, because if I stand out, I know this time it's because I'm doing what's right. I'm doing what God wants me to do. But we don't have a problem standing out if it's something we want to do, but we have a problem standing out if it's something God wants us to do. These are weak believers who wouldn't say anything. They were afraid of the Pharisees. Who are you afraid of today? Who is it that can silence you? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Who is it that can cause you to sit down? Who is it that can cause you to lay down your armor? What is it that can cause you to silence your witness, your testimony? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Come on. You know God's real. You know He saved you. You know His word is true. You know what you're doing is right. Stand fast. Don't let the Pharisees or those who would persecute you or ridicule you silence you. Stand fast, unmovable, always abounding in the work. But now, so often, well, you know, that might upset them, that might offend them, or they'll think I'm a weirdo. They'll think I'm crazy. Yeah, they thought the disciples were crazy. They thought Jesus was crazy. They said He had a devil. Well, I'd say that puts us in pretty good company, wouldn't you? And you go out and witness to people. Don't be discouraged when there are those who don't believe. Just keep witnessing. And in your own life, be sure that you stand upon what you know and stand for the Savior rather than worrying about what other people think. Finally, in verse 48, John 12, 48. We'll wrap it up like this. He talks about judgment. He's not saying that there won't be a judgment. He's saying that when He was here on earth, He came to tell people how to be saved. He came to save people. He came to provide Himself as a lamb, to be that sacrifice that we needed. He didn't say there's not going to be a judgment. He points out that there is. Now look, He says, "He that rejecteth Me and receiveth not My words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." When a lost person stands before God, okay, when their life is ended, when they stand before God, He will judge them by this book right here. Okay, what'd you do with this? What'd you do with this? What'd you do with this? I told you right here. You rejected it. You wouldn't believe it. Oh, I never read that. Now, maybe you didn't, but do you remember on, I'm not saying it'll happen this way, but do you remember on July the 3rd, 1973, when so-and-so came and told you, it's what He told you right here. For God so loved the world that He gave. Okay? This is how He's going to. Now, wonder why this thing is so hated. This is what God's going to judge man with. Wonder why it's so hated. Why is it that you tell somebody what the Bible says about their sin and they get so mad at you? Because this is a two-edged sword. Because this pierces. Okay? This is what proves to man you're lost. It's not you. You didn't write this. This is what proves to man you're lost. You're going to hell. Christ says the only thing that you can do is repent and put your faith and trust in Him. That's it. That's all you can do. I don't believe that. I didn't write. Well, it's not me you're not believing. And you're going to hear it again one day. You're better off to hear it now and believe it now. You know, they're all going to believe. Everybody's going to have that day when they say, yep, it's true. But if you don't say it now, the next time, when you do say it, it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. Everybody's going to admit, yeah, that's true. But you've got to admit it now for it to do you any good. Okay? Let us remember as we go out, some people just aren't going to believe, but we got to keep telling. Because some people do still believe. Let's not get discouraged. Let's just keep looking for those ones that are going to believe. Give them all the gospel. In our own lives, let's not get discouraged by the people around us who would try to silence us like the Pharisees. Let's be bold and stand up in our witness. That's how people are going to get saved. if we're bold and we stand up in our witness and tell people how to be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And when people, when we give them the gospel and they don't like it and they get mad at you, you just remember it's Him and His Word they hate, because this is what proves to them their sinful state. Just keep all these things in mind and not be discouraged as we labor for Him. It's easy to get discouraged. It's a tough world to live in for a lost person. You know, on the way in this morning, we were talking about that, and I said, you know, it's already hard enough. It's already hard enough for a Christian to live in a fallen world. And I told Amy and the kids, I said, in about 10, 15 years, man. Because you see, we were driving in and my family saw something on the sidewalk. A man and a woman, we're assuming, were the husband and wife. It looked like they were waiting. I saw them, but I didn't see what was going on. It looked like they were waiting on a ride. They're standing on the sidewalk. They got a baby in a car seat. The baby's out there with them in the sun, kicking and screaming in this car seat. The parents, they're in the shade. Okay, they're in the shade. Baby's in the sun, kicking and screaming. I'll let you guess what mom and dad were doing. Right there. I said, you know what? I would almost rather these parents that you can hear from one side of Walmart to the other screaming at their kids. I'd rather that than for them to just ignore them the way they do. I told my family, I said, boy, these kids that are being raised by this cell phone generation that don't even, they act like the kids don't even exist. What are these kids going to turn out to be like? Man, it's hard enough living in this world now. What's it going to be like with these kids who don't get raised at all? It's a tough place to live for a believer, church, and it's not going to get any easier. It's not going to get any easier. Not here. But let us not be discouraged, okay? Because the Bible told us it was going to get like this. We still have a job to do. Let's not get discouraged. Let's stay at it. Let's keep preaching the gospel. Keep telling people how to be saved. It's worth it. It's worth it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you'd take your word and that you would convict us by it, and you'd help us with it. First of all, show us places where maybe we are not responding to the truth that you've given us. Maybe we're acting like a lost person because we've seen you work in our lives, and sometimes we act as though you haven't. Help us to be not discouraged, but encouraged as we go out and preach the gospel, knowing that there are people who aren't going to listen, but knowing that some will. Help us to stand fast and not be like those who were afraid to stand up for you, but help us to stand fast for you and to take this word out to the lost that need it so desperately. They need it just the way we did before we got saved. Remind us of that. Move us out of our comfort areas, Lord. And stir us up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.